Right now it's time for Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'm really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals, in which we'll be speaking with our guest Beth Lockwood, all about the SPCA Tampa. First, though, as always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is Roland Alfonso with a piece called El Pussycat Ska here on Talking Animals. This is Roland Alfonso, a jaunty animal tune of sorts called El Pussycat Ska, as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals. My name's Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. In just a few minutes, we'll be speaking with today's guest, Beth Lockwood, Executive Director of the Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, Tampa, who began her tenure there some 25 years ago. She arrived as a veterinary technician. In that time, she's seen and facilitated a slew of changes, advances, and policy formulation that has helped the SPCA Tampa achieve national stature. We'll find out about these things and more when we speak with Beth Lockwood in a few moments here on Talking Animals. And as usual, we'll also welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. Time now, though, for some animal news items and or announcements, as we do each show. In this case, first, let's start off with something you should mark your calendar for later in the month, Sunday, June 28th, on PBS station WEDU right here in Tampa. They will be broadcasting a fantastic documentary called The Witness. Really wonderful sort of chronicling of an unlikely fellow becoming a real animal hero. So be sure to tune that in. Sunday, June 28th at 10 p.m. on WEDU for The Witness. Also want to let you know, probably when we speak with Beth, we may be chatting about hurricane prep. And from the Animal Coalition of Tampa, we have yet another way to get ready for hurricane season. During the month of June, any dog or cat that is spayed or neutered at the ACT Spay-Neuter Clinic will receive a free microchip at the time of surgery. Additional tests, vaccines, and pet products are available at their regular low prices. Appointments are required. Call the clinic at 813-250-3900. That's 813-250-3900 to reserve an appointment, or visit their website, actampa.org, for additional information. All right, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which as always involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Bill Engvall with a piece called Dorkfish on today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
See, I think we just try to figure out too much about animals. We should just leave them alone. I'll give you a great example. In the California desert, they found bones of a prehistoric porpoise. And they're saying it's interesting because this porpoise's upper jaw sticks out a lot further than his lower jaw. So I figure he's got to look like... And they're already trying to figure out if this upper jaw was used for, like, mating or catching fish. I'm thinking, what if it's just a goofy-looking fish? You know, like a dork fish. He's like, oh, this ain't the ocean. Woo! I better find me some water. Because can you imagine if you were fishing and you caught a dork fish? Because you know your friends would be like, hey, man. What kind of fish is that? You'd be like, oh, nothing. Because you know that fish would stick his head out of that bucket. I'm a dork fish. He caught me on a corn dog. I was swimming underneath the ocean, and I said, what's a corn dog doing underneath the ocean? But you know me, boy. I love them damn corn dog, boy. Woo! I saw that bad boy. I bit it. Boom, I was in the boat. That's the last thing I know. Be pretty cool if they sold them in pet stores. Because you know they say pets always look like your owners. It's like you go over to your friend's house. Hey, Buford. What kind of fish is this? Dorkfish? I'm just fixing to feed him.
What do you feed a dork fish?
Corn dog. Boy, they just gobble them up. But you got to take that stick out. They'll eat that stick. Now, I'll tell you another true animal story.
Okay, that was Bill Ingvall with a piece called Dorkfish from his album of the same name on Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. Our website is talkinganimals.net. We're our website where we make all sorts of information, content from past shows and other things available. It's talkinganimals.net. It's nearly time to speak with today's guest, Beth Lockwood. So let me outline a few things about her. As I noted earlier in the show, she's the executive director of the SPCA Tampa, who began her tenure there some 25 years ago when she arrived as a veterinary technician. In the ensuing quarter century, she's seen and facilitated a slew of changes and advances with broad implications, as well as formulating policy, all of which has helped the SPCA Tampa and Beth Lockwood herself to achieve national recognition. So with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Beth Lockwood to Talking Animals. Beth, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us today on Talking Animals.
You're very welcome.
I've noted a couple of times in the show today, including just a moment ago, that you started at the SPCA Tampa more than 25 years ago as a vet tech. Over those years, there must have been enormous changes at the facility and really to the local animal welfare landscape. So maybe you could just take us on a bit of a tour of those earliest years and a few of the most memorable things that have happened or changed along the way.
Yes, it was actually 26 years ago.
Yeah.
And actually, I was the first certified veterinary technician at the shelter. And I actually had gotten my degree in New York State. And when I first came to Florida in 1973, none of the vet hospitals even knew what I was. So I worked in private practice for 10 years before I came there. But back when I first came to the SPCA, it was, of course, a different time. One of the biggest issues was the animal intake. Back then, we took in 19,000 animals a year.
Wow.
Many of which were cats. Back then, animal services was dog control, and they did not handle any cats in Pinellas County.
Oh, so that's why the numbers got so
correct.
Skewed for you.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, there was no rabies law for cats either. So cats were not required to even have rabies shots.
Wow. So we got lots of them, and many of them are rabid.
So, yeah, we had a lot of cats, and luckily we're in Pinellas County, and it was three sides on water, so rabies was limited. However, between us and the Humane Society of Pinellas, which was then Clearwater SPCA, we took in all the stray and adoptable cats in for Pinellas County. So, and that included many feral cats. So it was a different time and a different place. And I would have to say it was a difficult time to work and stressful because of the volume of animals. And, of course, back then we were all lacking in resources, you know, to properly not only contain them but find them homes. And we had community cat cages back then, which I absolutely deplore.
I'm sure. And also probably another thing that that was probably different then, I mean, as you moved towards a leadership position there, I mean, were you embraced or was there resistance of one kind or another to your taking the leadership reins in that period? Or?
Well, yes, at first it was. Actually, my future husband hired me.
Oh, well, there you go. A smart fellow, obviously.
Glenn Lockwood. He was the executive director, and, of course, we didn't really care for each other to start with because of our strong personalities. But within me being here about a year, he offered me the position of shelter manager, which, of course, had been a male position up until that time. So it did, and, you know, it included some maintenance work and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the shelter manager did the education, the public relations, maintenance, veterinary technician work, a little bit of everything. Keep in mind, our budget back then was about $250,000 a year.
Wow.
So now it's $3.4 million, but we only had about 25 staff back then. Now we have 70. So our board of directors was not entirely pleased at his selection.
I'm sure.
You know, a woman. So I actually had a couple board members come here. They made me haul some trees around and you know, change light bulbs and things to see if I could sort, I could handle it.
Sort of testing you a little bit, it
yes,
sounds like.
Yes, they tested me.
I got you.
I believe I won them over.
Apparently so. It certainly has worked out pretty well at this point.
And, so. And you know, and I went from that position to the operations director. And when I was offered the executive director position years later, that was a difficult decision because my true passion is the operational end with animals. However, my operations director, Connie Brooks, is just a wonder and nationally known, so it was a little easier to turn up the reins. The most difficult part back then was, you know, I had to learn to do fundraising and that type of thing.
Which, sure.
It, but, you know, once you figure out that, you know, you're just asking, you're not asking for yourself, then it gets very easy.
Yeah, it gets easier, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, Beth, I mean, with that in mind, I mean, in my experience, you know, sort of briefly in Florida, but many years in California, it seems that at many shelters, maybe even most, there seems to be a fair amount of turnover at the top. I mean, is that your view and your experience? And if so, what accounts for the turnover? Is it just amount to burnout, or are there other significant factors at play here? Or?
Well, I'm actually on the Companion Animal Advisory Board of Humane Society of the United States. It's a national committee, and there's 13 directors on it.
Which is no small honor, by the way, and I wanted to mention that later.
Thank you. But the issue is I'm able to network with a lot of directors, and there's been turnover amongst them even.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the biggest issue is the board of directors. And if you've got a good, solid board, and they understand what you're doing, and they back you, you're in pretty good shape, and you actually have the ability and could put forth the effort to make the changes you need. I'm fortunate that I've actually got some board members right now that are still with me from the beginning.
Wow.
And we've progressed together. However, you do get difficult people along the way, and there's personality conflicts, and some people want to go one way, some another. Sometimes it's a good positive change, and sometimes it's not really a good change because I've seen shelters lose some really good programs that they had by changing strategies along the way with one director thinking they know more than others.
Sure, got to be tricky, yeah.
Yeah, so we've worked hard. We've accomplished things slowly. We are conservative. It's all about the animals, so we are focused on that. And our board does support staff and takes the time and effort to listen to them, and we work together as a team.
Well, that's great. This is, by the way, Talking Animals. If you just tuned in, we're speaking with Beth Lockwood, Executive Director of the SPCA Tampa. If you'd like to join the conversation, ask Beth a question, offer a comment, please call 813-239-9663, or you can email us at dj@wmnf.org. So, Beth, all these years later, now in 2009, what do you see as sort of the two or three biggest challenges facing the SPCA Tampa and to whatever extent this applies to animal shelters generally?
Well, I think one of the biggest issues facing is everyone wants to euthanize less and to work towards no kill.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we all need to go together. One of our challenges is that we are open admissions and we do take in owned unwanted animals except for the sick and injured. And as other shelters have gone no kill and take animals by appointments, It gives us a larger influx of animals because people, they have a choice of animal control or us. And so that gives us an influx of animals, and it also gives us animals that have been rejected by other shelters. We're fortunate. We deal with it. I'd like to be no kill on my own terms by being able to educate the community and help them and give everyone the resources to spay and neuter and do everything right and just get the animal population down and healthy by good work.
And Beth, for those listening who might not be familiar with the phrase, what does no-kill mean?
No-kill means that they only take in animals that they can adopt. So if someone brings in an animal that's in not very good condition or has medical needs and they can't and it will take treatment, they turn it away. So they don't euthanize animals. However, they're turned away for someone else to do it.
Right. Now, as opposed to what you say,
open admission. We take in everything.
Right.
And I don't deny the fact that we do euthanize animals. We're upfront about it. We don't euthanize healthy adoptable animals. The main animal that's euthanized is for health reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And the other issue is we'll get a lot of animals with behavior issues, and we do not adopt out any animal that might hurt a person or a child.
And with that in mind, Beth, I guess I can't help but wonder if with the economy doing what it's doing and not doing what it's doing, if with your open admission policy, has there just been such a marked increase in the number of folks bringing their animals just because they're having trouble keeping their house payments going, much less feeding the cats and dogs that they otherwise would of course love to still look after? Or does that work?
Oh, I think some. I don't see a huge increase, but we've had these economic problems before, not as bad as right now, but we've had ups and downs in the 80s and,
sure.
and other things, and you've had shutdowns of industry. Florida's a real transient state anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But, what we do is we try to focus on our programs, which are spay and neuter, and
yeah.
that's part of our mission.
Sure.
And that gets the populations down. And there's a big question on feral cat issues in Pinellas County, which we're all working on as a group. We have a Pinellas Animal Partners group.
Yeah.
And the other thing is we've got programs in place for people that are having problems. We give out food and things like that to help people keep their animals. We've always had people moving and turning in animals because of that, which I don't understand the apartment issue because, we've really changed over the years as far as apartments and places opening up their hearts to having animals there. But there's challenging times all the time, but... The main thing is if people have taken care of their animals, if they do have to relinquish them and they're healthy animals, they'll be placed. We actually have puppies are a commodity in Pinellas County. We do not get a lot of puppies coming into shelters.
Hmm.
And because of that, we do a lot of transfers from other shelters, mostly in the southeast where we are, but through Hurricane Katrina and my operations director, Connie,
mm-hmm.
Met a lot of shelters that are far less fortunate than us. And in Alabama and Georgia, northern Florida, and they are literally euthanizing thousands of puppies a year because there's no homes for them.
Wow.
When you think times are bad, you have to look at who's around you, and sometimes other places are worse. So they bring puppies down to us. I mean, beautiful lab mixes and things.
Mm.
And so we'll take in a lot of puppies and smaller animals from other shelters, and they quickly find homes here. What that does for us is because right now the fad dog is pit bulls and mixes, and instead of us having one type of dog here all the time, we'd like to have a nice mix for people. So when they come here, they'll see all types of different animals. Which keeps bringing people to us.
Of course. No, and I want to get a little bit more into adoption in a moment. But one thing you just touched on, I want to maybe follow up with a reference to the Katrina. I mean, it seems like there's a few things that really seem to distinguish the SPCA Tampa from other facilities. One of those seems to be the recognition that you guys, of course, have gained in hurricane disaster response planning. Maybe you could just fill us in on some of the steps you took to emerge as one of the country's top figures in hurricane and disaster response planning for animals. I mean, I suppose one key step is living in an area where there's lots of hurricanes. But beyond that, I'm sure there's been training, conferences, other things that you've actively sought to gain that sort of expertise and reputation.
Absolutely. It all started with Hurricane Andrew. And we were down there helping our team leader from Florida, Laura Bevan, with HSUS.
Mm-hmm.
And after Andrew hit, the state of Florida enacted Emergency Support Function 17, which was that every county in the state of Florida within 3 years had to have a plan for pets. Well, we kind of took it one step further here at Tampa Bay. The Disaster Animal Response Team training started through Humane Society of the United States, and we all became involved in that. And I started our disaster team here, and Connie Brooks, my operations director, took it over and flew with it. And so we've been trained, and there's a 30-hour training, and we've deployed with Humane Society of the United States, because in Florida we get a lot of practice.
Sure, yeah.
So we actually had a lot of practice in Florida to where they could deploy us to other areas. But Charlie really gave us an eye-opener, too, and we were down there. And because in the 1 year we had Charlie, Francis, Ivan, and Jeannie.
A little more experience than you bargained for, perhaps.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we in Florida became experts, and our disaster animal response team with SPCA Tampa Bay grew. So we've got over 300 people on our team.
Wow.
That's why we pushed and worked with animal services and the county to open up the pet-friendly shelters, which we are all manning, Animal Services, us, and Humane Society. Mm. And we also got a lot of practice and experience deploying. HSUS would call us. Right now, after you're on your state disaster team, you can take certain classes and become part of a national DART team, which I'm on, Connie's on, and a lot of our team members. So when a national disaster strikes, they'll see if we can be deployed, and they'll want
sure.
you for a week at a time.
Wow.
So in addition to going to Katrina, where Connie, my operations director, she set up a shelter in Hattiesburg, you know, a team of five of us went in there, cleaned all the horse stalls left over from the fair, and within overnight turned it into a shelter.
Wow, very, very impressive.
And the other thing is now Humane Society of the United States, and, of course, we work with them a lot.
Sure.
Now they recognize we work on man-made and natural disasters. So you've got your hurricanes and tornadoes as your natural disasters, and now we've got our puppy mills as
right.
man-made disasters.
Right. I know
so,
you've done a lot of rescuing at those, too.
So
yeah.
we've been deployed a lot with the puppy mills as well.
Sure. Well, this is Talking Animals. We're speaking with Beth Lockwood, Executive Director of the SPCA Tampa Bay. We're in our final few moments, but if you'd like to join the conversation, ask Beth a question or offer a comment, please call 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. And Beth, in our waning moments here, I do want to hit a couple of things. We've got an email or two that I want to get to if we have time as well. But let's first talk about just a couple of important events coming up, because I know that we talked earlier about how your budget's grown, but still we're always looking for ways to, I'm sure, fund the operation. So maybe we could take a moment and just talk about the Pet Bowl, just because that seems like one of the larger events that's on
the
immediate
horizon.
Yeah,
that's coming right
around the pike. Right, right. So,
that's June 27th, mm-hmm. and remember our Pet Walk is October 24th, but
right.
we're having our Pet Bowl. It's our sixth annual. It's June 27th at Seminole Lanes, which is on 8668 Park Boulevard. You can go to spcatampabay.org to register, and you put together a five-team person, and you get three games of bowling. It includes your shoes, the ball rental. You get a T-shirt and complimentary lunch and a team photo. And we're having a prize drawings where you can buy chance tickets, but also Chinese auction. So for $10 tickets, you can get prizes valued at $200 plus.
Wow.
So it's a great day. It's a lot of fun, and the best part is we're raising money to save lives.
Help the animals, sure. So again, that's spcatampabay.org for that, and all kinds of other great information too. And just as we sort of wind up, let me try to see if we can get a call in, and let me quickly read
sure.
one of the emails. Says, great show. You do such great and difficult work. Thank you. How much outreach in schools do you guys do?
Actually, we do quite a bit. We have a character education class for children, and it's accessible. We actually do some of Hillsborough, too, for all of Pinellas County for the fourth and fifth grades, and we also do some preschools. We have tours here on the premises, but we go to all the different schools. You can call Sharon. She's our education manager. She's been here over 20 years as well. And her assistant, Linda, but we go to all the schools. We take dogs. And actually, there is an animal component required for education for the state of Florida.
Well, as it should be. I think that's fantastic. Okay, Beth, well, we're sort of really just in our last minute or so, so I want to, definitely hit to the extent we can adoption. So How does it work at SPCA Tampa? I mean, what does it cost? If someone listening right now was sort of inspired to adopt an animal from you,
okay,
what should they know? How quickly and easily could the adoption take place?
You can. We try to get almost all the animals spayed and neutered before they're up for adoption, so a lot of them can go home that day. Basically, you need to have provided good vet care for your animals at home. We do check for rabies shots and that you went to the vet once a year. The prices vary. Right now, it's 50% off on cats and kittens because we're rolling into cat season. And you can check the prices online.
Sure.
Designer breeds like the under 20 pounds are $150. Dogs are $35. Puppies, I believe, they're between $50 and $100. It depends on the type you get. My newest little dog I paid $150 for. She's 5 pounds, and she's worth every penny.
I'm sure.
The animal is spayed or neutered. It's microchipped. You've got your vaccines. You get your free license. They've been checked for heartworms. You get a great bang for your buck for any price that you pay for the animals.
Well, good. That was the stuff I wanted to be sure we squeezed in.
And you get 30 days of free pet insurance.
Wow.
Should you have any problems at home.
Can't beat it. Well, let's hope that some folks listening will adopt today. And, again, SPCATampaBay.org is the website for information on that and all kinds of other things. It's a great website, lots of great resources, as you are yourself, Beth. Thanks so much for joining us today on Talking
Animals. Thank you. Come visit us, everybody.
Absolutely.
You've
all right.
You've got a new look.
Okay, cool. Well, Beth Lockwood, Executive Director of the SPCA Tampa Bay, thanks so much for joining us today on
Tampa
Bay.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. Okay, I'm Duncan Strauss. You are listening to Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. There'll be a prize, a copy of Haymaker, the new CD by The Gorge. The first person who calls in at 813-239-9663, 813-239-9663, and correctly identifies this animal tune. Name that animal tune. I'm Talking Animals. Hi, you're on the air. You're our first caller. Can you name this animal tune? Hi, can you name this animal tune?
It's I Am a Walrus by the Beatles.
There you go. What's your first name, sir?
Rick.
Rick? Okay, I'm going to put you on hold. Rick is our winner, folks, for all those else who's calling in. I'll come back and get your information in one sec, Rick. Congratulations. Thanks for listening to Talking Animals. Okay, we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals. The program airs twice a month, specifically the first and second Wednesday of each month. So we'll return Wednesday, July 1st. I hope you'll join me then. Also, on June 24th, we'll be doing a Talking Animals-oriented edition of the Sonic Detour from 4 to 6 p.m. Most of your favorite elements of Talking Animals spread out over two gorgeous hours. I hope you'll tune in and join us that day, June 24th from 4 to 6 p.m. on the Sonic Detour. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. We're closing out today's show, as always, with an animal tune. This is Ozo Motley with Don't Mess with the Dragon, WMNF, Tampa. See you June 24th, 4 to 6 p.m., followed by July 1st at 11:30 a.m. on WMNF, Talking Animals.
Smoking song.